How does the gospel transform a marriage? And why is it that spouses don't often consider the condition of their marriage until there's trouble? Well, we're going to talk about how to strengthen your marriage, grow your marriage, and what grace has to do with it as we talk with Brad and Marilyn Rhodes. They have recently put together a resource for us, the book, The Grace Marriage. And good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Appreciate that. So, Brad, let me start with you and tell us a little bit more about your ministry, Grace Marriage, and how did this book come about?
Well, the ministry, Grace Marriage, we equip churches with ongoing Christ-centered marriage ministries. I was ordained pastor of our church, and I saw that we had premarital counseling and crisis counseling, but really didn't have any strategy for marriage itself.
Mm-hmm.
And looked around and saw the statistics, 72% of churches had no marriage ministry, according to Communio, and just realized churches have to prioritize marriage. So what we do is we help the church disciple marriage and give them everything they need to do it well.
Wow. So how would you contrast a performance-based marriage approach to a grace-based marriage? How does it differ?
Well, we naturally are in a performance-based world, and I think we just bring that to marriage. Yet Scripture calls us to a much different place, and where our marriages are to be a picture of the gospel of Christ in the church, and we don't really know naturally how to put legs on that. But in a performance-based marriage, we have these expectations, and if Brad meets my expectations, then we're going to do well. But if he doesn't, then I'm going to distance myself or withdraw. So it's the behavior of your spouse that determines how you respond in kind. And that's how we do much in life, but that's not the gospel. And when you put your marriage under grace, that's okay. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me. And when my spouse is struggling or isn't acting kind, my response should not be just a natural consequence. It should be, okay, I'm going to move towards my spouse rather than away from them in this moment. And that's how we do exemplify the picture of the gospel and mm-hmm. Jesus in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's atmospheric. I mean, it's you know, Jesus said, you know, my burden's light, my yoke is easy. Come to me, and you know, I'll give you rest. And it's just an atmosphere of unconditional favor, an atmosphere of unconditional love. It's just an atmosphere of forgiveness, and really the only atmosphere that we can build on, because you know, Jesus says, "I'm the rock." You know, unless the Lord builds it, you build it in vain. Unless the marriage is grounded on grace and forgiveness, I mean, nobody seems to navigate life all that well. It's just life is so difficult. And if our hope is just behavioral consistency, our marriages will be on one unpleasant roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Marilyn, let me ask you to expound on how would you say to someone to change their thinking? Because it's a mindset change, really, when you think about this, because the world's not telling us to act this way, and we as believers even sometimes have a hard time thinking the way that you're talking about. What's a good first step to start changing that mindset?
Well, one thing we do even in the book is we start with our testimony of how we did it so wrong, because we started out this way, and it just got ugly fast. And so, like you said, it's a perspective shift. And when we share specifically how bad and wrong it looks, and then share how God just took us to a stable place when we got off that roller coaster. For example, I was in graduate school in social work when we first got married, and I was thinking, I've got to tell Brad all the things he's doing or he won't know. And so if he hurt my feelings, I was telling him about it, and we got in this place immediately where I was so hurt and upset because he was building a law practice and had taken his focus off me, and I felt alone and isolated, and I was crying, and I had gone from this steady person who depended on the Lord to what Brad did or didn't do was where my hope was. And about a year in to just being so broken over our marriage, I was crying out to the Lord, and I just felt him be like, I'm your hope, not Brad. And you've put him in my place, and you're looking for what you want out of marriage rather than what I'm calling you to in marriage. So I went to Brad and asked for his forgiveness, and I was like, I'm sorry I've put you in the place of God. And my focus needs to be on how I'm called to love you, not on what I want you to do for me, because that's what we do in a performance-based marriage. So that totally changed everything in our home when I got that, when the Lord convicted me of that. And then the Lord started working on Brad's heart, because clearly the Holy Spirit can do a whole lot better job than we can when we're trying to change our spouse and telling them everything they do that bothers us. It was just, it was a pretty ugly, ugly start. So that's a little bit of...
Yeah.
One of the things is you've got to take your focus off your spouse and put it on you and what God's calling you to.
Yeah, when selfishness meets high expectations, so it creates one bad stew. So.
Yeah, that's right.
So what is grace not? You know, we're talking about giving grace, but is there an instance where you know, the situation is dangerous for the person, where, you know, they're not responsive at all to the grace you're giving?
Yes, it's grace is never tolerating infidelity, never tolerating emotional abuse, never tolerating physical abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, you prioritize protection, and grace is not the enablement of sin. You know, that's kind of the misconception. It's not to say I'm just going to pretend you're great when you're absolutely selfish, rude, and harmful. Grace includes addressing issues. And we have a chapter in the book, Grace and Criticism, Grace and Communication, that grace isn't so we're just going to have this bad marriage, but I'm just going to accept it because I'm a grace person. No, it's addressing issues. And if wounds from a friend can be trusted. Now, in Grace and Criticism, we talk about what it looks like to overlook an offense promotes love, yes, but to address significant ongoing issues that are harmful to the person and the marriage, that is also loving.
Mm-hmm. So, Brad, why don't you talk a little bit to that person that's listening this morning that is a believer, follower of Christ, but their spouse is not, and they're struggling to really try and figure out, how do I make this work when my spouse doesn't even care about things of God, you know, and they're trying to witness and they're trying to be a good example, and how can we make this work, or at least attempt to?
Well, one, just recognize it's really hard and give yourself a lot of grace. So it's like it's tough. It really is, and it really you just really have to lean into the sufficiency of Christ. I mean, like Marilyn said, Christ is sufficient for all. You know, I get my beauty, I get my joy, I get my security, I get everything from God, and He is enough. And the Scripture says in James, "Ask for wisdom, and if you believe, He'll grant you wisdom." So just on a day-to-day basis. And no, His mercies are new every morning. He will sustain you. And Scripture says, you know, to live one day at a time. You know, each day's got enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So just wake up today and say, Lord, for me and my house, I'll serve you. What would that look like for me today? And I'll find my joy in obedience to you. I'll find my security in obedience to you. I'll continue to pray for my spouse and pray for supernatural breakthrough. Now, again, if it's manifesting in emotional or physical abuse, or there's ongoing infidelity that brings safety into question, prioritize protection and get help.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just the day-to-day selfishness where the person's not paying you attention, isn't showing any interest in you, that's where that 1 Peter 3 passage comes in, that win them over without words, but by the beauty of your lives.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. So I want to just jump back to a little bit again about criticism, because I think this is something that that happens in marriage, especially early on. If you see something that you think should be corrected or maybe is harmful for the person, how do you accept or give criticism in a grace-filled way?
You know, one thing that we talk about, kind of a framework to run it through, is this a pattern or is this an extenuating circumstance? Because often when we're in extenuating circumstances, life's hard. It throws things at us, or we're tired and fatigued. There could be health issues or crisis. And so that can throw us into being critical when it's not helpful. And in those instances, I think that's when you cover over an offense and it promotes love. When you're in the moment is not the time to address issues. And it's so, but if it's a pattern and you've prayed about it, so So say there's an issue with Brad and I, and it continues to stay on my heart, and I've prayed about it for a few days, and it's still with me, and this is something that we need to address. Wait outside the heat of the moment, not at night, late at night when you're both tired, mm-hmm. finding a time when you're not upset to say, hey, look, there's something I think we really need to talk through. And the key is for the person, so I'm going to Brad, is if your spouse is coming to you, we so naturally get defensive and we want to defend ourselves. But to just listen and let your spouse feel heard, that's just a huge piece in this, is to let your spouse feel heard and ask questions and just hear each other. Because often in the criticism, where the grace doesn't come in, is we get defensive, we're not seeking to understand.
Yeah.
It jumps back to the selfish.
And affirmation has to be primary. I mean, since you want a culture of encouragement, not a culture of criticism. Yeah, mm-hmm. So if there's all affirmation and no input, there's no growth. But if there's all input and almost no affirmation, it just feels heavy and the person can't win. Mm-hmm. So it's got to, there has to be primary affirmation, encouragement with occasional input, mm-hmm. as opposed to input being constant, which the Proverbs cover kind of what that does if input's constant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. So real quick before we let you go, I know that, when we have a baby dedication, that you always say, well, congregation, are you going to help these parents to raise up this child? The thing about it is with marriages, though, I think we need that too. We need mm-hmm. the church to come alongside and to help Christian couples to stay strong, to serve one another, to show grace. How can you see that the local church can help in this?
Well, one of my board members said, couples will never be more intentional with their marriage than churches are with their marriage ministries. And as long as the church doesn't have dedicated marriage ministries, and it's not even important enough to have a ministry dedicated to it, marriage is going to continue to decline. And for way too long, we've had 40 to 50% divorce rate, and then most of the other marriages seem to be functional coexistent relationships that are not gospel attractional. So I would just implore you, if you're out there and you have a church that does not have a marriage ministry, it's not okay. The church needs to be salt and light, and if marriage doesn't work, nothing we do works, as a pastor in Atlanta once told me. So, I mean, we need a major push toward healthy marriage in the local church if positive change in our society is going to ever occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is good. The Grace Marriage, How the Gospel and Intentionality Transform Your Relationship, by Brad and Marilyn Rhodes, our guests this morning. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much. God bless you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us. We're privileged.
Yeah, you bet. You're welcome. Thank you.